could be anywhere doing anything, but you're hanging out with us. We appreciate that. So wherever you're listening and however you're listening, we appreciate you guys for listening. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting episode of the Game Plan Podcast. Alex Goodwin is my name. You can follow me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, that's on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. That's T as in Texas, S as in Seattle, M as in Michigan. Kennedy Miller.
Yes, sir.
Where can they find you on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter at underscore Kennedy Miller underscore.
All right, all right. Aaron.
Yes, sir.
Where can they find you on Twitter?
You can find me at Slenderman Z. Double zero. Again, that is Slenderman Z, double zero. So you can find me on Twitter.
All right. All right. Big show coming up today. JT Barrett of The Takeover will be with us in the second segment. Again, JT Barrett of The Takeover will be with us in the second segment. But first, guys, we're going to do the report card segment. So Ken, Aaron, you guys know how this works. We're going to talk about certain football teams or players, and we're going to grade their performance over the past week or few weeks. Y'all ready to go?
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go. We're going to start with Clemson football. They lost their second game this season to fall to 2-2 as they lost to NC State 28-21 in double overtime on the road. Ken, how you going to grade them?
I give them a C-. You know, Uncle Ben told Peter Parker the same thing in Spider-Man. With great power comes great expectations. And what we've seen Clemson be able to do over the past couple of years, this is not the same Clemson. And now you can see why it is so impressive how like an Alabama continues to steamroll. Clemson was very impressive with the Deshaun Watson and the Trevor Lawrence. But once you lose a quarterback of that magnitude, and you don't want to forget to mention Travis Etienne as well, that helped that offense really flow. And so once you lose a class that was so good, how do you recover? And 2-2 is not bad for normal programs. But Clemson has elevated itself to the Alabama and the Ohio State level of talent every year that we expect them to keep producing. And to lose two games already, you basically eliminated yourself almost completely from getting in that college football playoff. And I find it hilarious that Dabo, as you say, Dabo Olstein, it was so against the 18 playoffs, and now that would be the only way that it looks like he'd be able to get in the college football playoff.
Aaron, how you going, Greg Clemson?
I'm going to give them a C. I won't give them a C- because they did play well. They play hard. You can tell that they believe in the system and they're playing hard. But 2-2 is pretty tough, and to lose. To lose in that fashion is even worse. And, you know, I'm hoping that it doesn't demoralize the team because, you know, overtime losses usually, like, I looked at an article the other day, actually, and people who lose in overtime, the very next game, they tend to lose too because they're kind of like, you know, all demoralized, sad they lost in overtime. So hopefully Clemson can keep their minds right. But, overall, I'm going to have to give them a C because they played fairly average. They played hard, but the skill is just, it's looking average and it's starting to worry me. I don't think they're going to be able to really make it in the playoffs if they continue to play this way. So we'll see though.
I'll tell you this right now. Their playoff chances are finished, right? You lose a conference game and Miami's not very good. North Carolina doesn't seem to be very good, right? Given the lack of strength in this conference, you lose one conference ball game, it's curtains, right? So I'm going to give Clemson a D. And mainly because I have to ask the question here. Kennedy, you mentioned that Clemson has elevated itself into that level of your Alabamas, your Georgias, and your Ohio States, right? But, you know, once I actually kind of looked at that blue chip ratio done by 24/7 Sports' Bud Elliott, so Alabama, 84% of their players are 4- and 5-star players. Georgia has 80% of their players that are 4 or 5 stars. Ohio State has 79% of their players that are 4 and 5 stars. Clemson only has 67% of their players that are 4 and 5 stars, right? So there's there's a sizable talent gap there, and I think these last couple of big games they've played, it's really gotten exposed. And like I said the last time we guys talked, the lack of development of a solid line, right? Because their biggest issue, or DJ Uiagalelei's biggest issue, is that he can't get any time to throw. Their interior protection is poor. So as long as their interior protection is poor, I don't see what else we can expect but a 2 or 3 loss season. And let's be real, for most teams, 2 or 3 losses is really good. Previously, like in 2012 or 2013, a 10-2 or a 9-3 season at Clemson
might get you an extension.
Got you an extension. Now they're talking about a down year. So, and also, I think this is the first time in about 7 or 8 years they have not had a generational quarterback. Like,
right.
Because Watson and Lawrence are two of maybe the best 15 college quarterbacks of the last quarter century. I feel like that's a fair statement.
That's fair.
What we've seen from Uiagalelei so far, he ain't that. And that's not saying he won't be good, but he just won't be that. So will Dabo be able to win and win big with just a good college quarterback, or does he need a great college quarterback?
These are questions that need answers. And we're going to find out pretty soon here.
Moving on to the NFL and Justin Fields, who was 6-for-20 in his first start for 68 passing yards. He took 9 sacks and he had a QBR of 6.
I'm going to give him a C as well. Like you said, he took 9 sacks, and the point that you just made for the quarterback for Clemson can be made for Justin Fields. If he does not have time to throw, then obviously it's going to taint how good he looks. I don't care who the quarterback is in the NFL. If you give a quarterback time in the pocket, a lot of NFL quarterbacks will look elite. And on the other side of it, if you give a quarterback no time in the pocket, you're going to see a lot of quarterbacks struggle. You and I saw it firsthand, Alex, as Houston Texans fans when they drafted David Carr, a guy who had talent, but his career was mirrored by taking a lot of sacks early on and then being forced to be trigger happy. And it kind of messed up his career. And you don't want that with Justin Fields, and he's still young, but I go back to his comment in the preseason, how the game is much slower now. It's not that slow anymore, is it? As we quote from Denzel from Remember the Titans, it's not fun anymore, is it? So, you know, I think he'll be fine. Like I said, I can't put all the blame on him, so that's why I'm giving him a C. But 9 sacks is atrocious, man. That's insane. That's insane.
Aaron?
I'm going to give him a D. I do understand that the giving up 9 sacks is god-awful, and it kind of feels like he didn't stand a chance from the beginning, but I don't know. 6-for-20 for, 68 yards? You got to do better than that as a professional quarterback, even as a rookie. I mean, if you're going to have to run with the ball more or throw it away more, something, try to make a play at least, because watching that game, it kind of felt like he was just either running for his life or throwing the ball away or checking it down. It didn't seem like he was really trying to make a play downfield, and I get that he didn't have a lot of time to do so, but, I mean, it wasn't the whole game that he was getting chased around, so I'll give him a D. I know he's a better player than that, and that's probably why I'm giving him a D. Like some harsh, like, tough love type deal. I don't know. But I do expect him to rebound, but he did perform very poorly.
I'll say this. Expecting Justin Fields to do well was like walking somebody into like an algebra test. The teacher's really not a good teacher. You don't really understand the formulas. They're throwing a whole bunch of stuff at you at one time. And then on top of that, they tell you all this stuff we've learned Monday, we're going to test you on it on Tuesday. That's what it looked like with Justin Fields. He looked completely unprepared. So I've been saying for the longest now that I don't want to see Justin Fields out there on the field. Because like you said, Kennedy, the last thing you need is your franchise quarterback, your quarterback of the future, getting hurt. The last thing you need him doing is getting happy feet back there. That's the last thing you need. But Matt Nagy's not thinking about it like that. Matt Nagy's trying to save his job, right? And after what I saw on Sunday afternoon, putting Justin Fields behind that offensive line ain't going to do a damn thing to save his job. Like, Matt Nagy need to go out there and call a U-Haul now. Like, go upstairs, pack your bags while you at it, call a cab, man. This is done. I would put Justin Fields in bubble wrap. Because this here ain't worth it. A bad offensive line, a receiver out there, and that's it? Nah. So I'm going to give, I said all that to give Justin Fields a C-. I'm giving him some extra credit. Moving on to Jimmy Garoppolo, quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers. 25 of 40 for 267, two touchdowns, and a pick. Ken, how you going to grade him?
I'm going to go with my recurring theme here, a C. I'm just not sold on Jimmy Garoppolo. And, you know, it's been that way for a couple of years now, and I think at this point we just know who he is. We know who he is. He's a guy that's going to get you some wins, especially with a coach like Kyle Shanahan, but I don't think he can get you over the top. He even got you to the big game, and I still don't think he can get you over the top. So I mean, so far, I mean, the 49ers they beat the Eagles. They were supposed to beat the Eagles. They beat the, they beat the 49ers. I mean, not the 49ers, the Lions the first week when the Lions almost came back and beat them. And then they lost to Aaron Rodgers on Sunday Night Football. So they're about right where I thought. So I'm going to give Jimmy Garoppolo a C, which is what I think of him as a quarterback. C+.
So I'm going to give Garoppolo a B-. I'm going to be nice today. I'm feeling, you know, a little, you know, happy. He did by and large what they asked him to do. The problem is anytime he has to do more than that, right? Like, make a play when it counts, right?
Like the Super Bowl.
Indeed. He can't do it. He's not the man to do it, right? A couple of those sacks, a couple of those almost interceptions, you're like, yo, man, what is this guy doing? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm going to give Garoppolo a B. And I hope Garoppolo is enjoying his last bit of time in the Bay Area. Because after this, he's done in this town.
Right.
Aaron.
Well, one thing's for sure, he is definitely done in San Francisco after this year. But I'll give him a C+. He didn't play bad. He really took the words out of my mouth. He shows up and he does what he's supposed to do. He does what they ask him to do. But the moment, and that's what's tough. The moment they ask him to do a little bit more, he's like, I can't provide that for you. So it is disappointing. Also, side note, every time Trey Lance is in the game, something good happens. Let's notate that right now. He's ran for what, how many touchdowns this year? Two?
I think two.
Yep.
Two touchdowns this year. I don't think he's thrown for any, but he makes plays. He gets yards. I wouldn't say he's ready, but definitely sooner than later for Garoppolo than I thought at the beginning of the season. I'll say that.
All right. Moving on to the Texas Longhorns. After getting shell-shocked and blasted by Arkansas 2 weeks ago, they've won their last two in a row by a combined 128-35. So, Aaron, how you going to grade them?
I'm going to give them an A. Definitely a little biased here, but I think they earned this. They beat the brakes out of Tech. That was impressive. I mean, from top to bottom, offensive defense, they played their asses off. So I'm going to give them an A, short and simple. I'm excited to see what they do the rest of the season. I definitely hope they can keep this up. Their defense is starting to kind of come together. They're kind of creating turnovers. And it's funny because the defense has been kind of poor. Yeah, all in all, I'll give them an A.
Ken.
I'll give them an A too. You know, as the weeks go by with Arkansas knocking off A&M, that loss doesn't look as bad as we thought it was. It still was a poor showing on their part. They could have played better, but I like the kid that came in, Casey Thompson. And you know, from the week one, I saw more. I liked how the offense flowed. I liked how Steve Sarkisian had it was newer things. It wasn't the same old. And to put up 70 on Tech, was that the first time they put up 70 since 2005? And
2005, I mean, Big 12 championship, 70-3 against Colorado.
Yeah, I mean, that's impressive. It don't matter who you play. That means you balling. So, you know, I'm still high on Texas. I give it an A as well.
I'm going to bust y'all's bubble. I'm going to give Texas a B. I am.
Well, yeah, I know. I knew you would.
Look, man. You're supposed to beat Rice by 60. Okay? We're supposed to beat Texas Tech by 2 and 3 touchdowns. Because we're Texas. That's what we're supposed to do. What Chris Rock say? Ain't you tired of folks talking about, like, bragging about stuff a normal person just does? Right? We bragging what about.
Supposed to do.
It's what we supposed to do. We bragging about stuff a normal powerhouse just does. We blasted a middle of the pack conference opponent by 5 touchdowns. What we supposed to do. We blasted a group of nerds from Rice who ain't been good since segregation. Let's be serious,
my
man.
God.
Rice ain't been good since. Look, Rice ain't been good since they had colored bathrooms, all right? The moment they got rid of those signs that said piss here, Rice was done. Stop me when I'm lying.
What's the next report card, man?
I'm going to finish this on a high note for y'all. Tell me I'm wrong here, Kennedy Miller. Tell me I'm wrong.
Oh, my God.
I can't tell you you're wrong.
So, we're going to finish this off on a high note for you guys. Then we're going to go to break. The Dallas Cowboys. Kennedy Miller, how you going to grade them?
A minus. This team has surpassed my expectation through 3 games. I said they would make the playoffs, but I didn't think they would be looking this good. Dak Prescott looks healthy. He's playing over these 3 games. He's playing the best football that I've ever seen him play. But Dak is looking good. The defense is much improved, leading the league right now in takeaways. And I thought it was just going to be like a defense like when we had the really good year, I want to say in 2014, when we went 13-3 or 12-4, one of those, where the defense was good because the offense kept the ball for so long. The offense killed in time of possession, so the defense just did its job and the offense maintained. But this team has an ability to take away the football with Micah Parsons and Trevon Diggs. These young guys are special. You have some building blocks. And the last thing that I'll say, which is why I'm so optimistic about this team, is everything is going wrong early on in the season. And usually when you see that, things start to go right towards the end. I mean, Lyle Collins is suspended. DeMarcus Lawrence breaks his foot. Keanu Neal was out this week. Michael Gallup is out, you know, 3 to 5 weeks. Randy Gregory was out last week. All these problems are coming in early in the season, and they're maintaining and still playing well. Now we get all those pieces come back middle of the season. Uh-oh. Look like we going to be cooking up.
You know, Kennedy, I like when you get like this. I like it. I like
it. A minus. It'd only be a plus if we had the one thing that I say, the reason that's not an A plus, I'm sorry, Aaron, I'll let you go after this. Reason it's not an A plus. I am questioning Mike McCarthy. What are we doing? 2 straight games against the Chargers. Because if Greg the Leg missed that kick, it was going to be a rant on here today. If he missed that kick against the Chargers. And against the Eagles, going in the half, it's 1:20, you got 2 timeouts. Why would you not call? Even the ref was walking over to him. You sure you don't want to call it, Mike? We can't have that type of complacency when we play really good teams.
All right, so I'm giving them an A. I am ecstatic about what I am seeing from that defense. They are playing opportunistic defense, and I love that. And Trey Diggs is bona fide baller, man. That dude is legit. He is legit. And you know what's crazy? Last year, he was a rookie, right? And he was making certain mistakes. Like, I'll never forget, they were playing Washington last year, right? It's a hilarious story. And I'm watching the game, and he's guarding McLaurin, Scary Terry, on the football team. And he makes a play. And he gets in his face, and they're kind of going back and forth, and it gets kind of physical, and they're yelling at each other. Whatever, the refs break it up. Next play, McLaurin burns him for 75 yards. I was like, you cannot allow things like that to happen. So I was questioning at that time whether he turned out to be good or not. But, you know, later on in the season, he played the Eagles and got 2 picks. He seems to love playing against the Eagles, by the way. I don't know if you guys picked up on that. But
Jalen Hurts, teammate.
Yep, he knows them well. Micah Parsons is fast, really fast. Like, in your face fast. You can run all the sweeps and jet sweeps and reverses you want to. He's there. He covers a lot of ground in a short amount of time. That's impressive. And like you said, Kennedy, a lot of the guys are out right now. Lawrence is hurt. Lyle Collins. I heard he tried to bribe.
I heard that too.
Yeah. But anyway, so when they do come back, that's just going to be more weapons added to a team that'll probably already be hot because the schedule is, I mean, it is rather weak. We do play the Chiefs, and I think we play the Saints and the Vikings. So those will be some games where it's like, you know, some show me games. But if they do perform well in those show me games, oh yeah, y'all
are in trouble. And I'm going to be talking about a whole lot of hot stuff.
So I hope you're ready for it.
I'll keep it brief because I know y'all are drunk in love right now. These are all fair points. But like you said, Kennedy, Mike McCarthy's poor clock management at some point will come back to bite you. Right? People don't just all of a sudden learn how to manage the clock. You either have it or you don't. It seems to me like he don't have it. But of course, I don't think it'll matter much because, you know, a lot of y'all's schedule is a rather cupcake schedule. It's a third or fourth place in the East, third or fourth in the division schedule from last year. So, to be expected. But I will give the Cowboys an A+.
Thank you. Thank you. Wow.
This is new.
No, hold on. That wasn't hard for you. No. That wasn't hard. Look, Kennedy will tell you. Kennedy, answer me this question. Kennedy, in 2019, who did I pick to win the NFC East?
The Cowboys.
At the end of the season, when the Philadelphia Eagles were down all their receivers and all they had was Boston Scott and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, who did I pick to win that game to win the division?
Oh, the Dallas Cowboys.
Last year, who did I pick to win the division?
You picked the Cowboys, didn't you?
The overall point here is that common sense tells me the Cowboys should win things. The problem is they, by and large, don't. And that doesn't disappoint me. That disappoints y'all. But we got to leave it right there. But we will be right back with more of the Game Plan Podcast on the other side of the break. Coming up next, JT Barrett of The Takeover will join us to talk college football and a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. This is the Game Plan Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Game Plan Podcast. Alex Goodwin is my name. You can follow me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, that's on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. That's T as in Tango, S as in Samurai, M as in Marmalade. Aaron, where can they find you on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter at SlenderManZ00. Again, that is SlenderManZ00.
And joining us here on the show, friend of the show, he's one half of what's called radio's or podcasting now, podcasting's most dangerous group. I'm talking about JT Barrett of The Takeover. JT, how you doing today, man?
What's going on, man? What an introduction by you. Radio's podcast, most dangerous group. Yeah, I would like to think that that's us. Yeah.
Who haven't y'all pissed off? All right. Let's get this thing going. So, JT, being that you're an Oklahoma Sooners fan, what has been your reaction to the Oklahoma Sooners offense struggling out of the gate here in the first month of the season? And what do you think they can do or should do to fix that?
Well, I think what most people are going to look at is obviously Oklahoma struggling on offense. But I don't think a lot of people are actually looking at how Oklahoma has improved on the defensive side of the ball. Like we're able to rush the passer a lot more. We're able to get third down stops, get off the field. So, I honestly think that, you know, some of the roles have reversed, you know, where our offense has been high powered over the years, but our defense hasn't been as great. I think this year is a year where our defense is really good. Our offense will catch up to speed. It's a young core, especially when it comes to receivers. We do have Kennedy Brooks back and Eric Gray back there in the backfield. But the offensive line is kind of young as well. And Spencer Rattler right now is just acting like he's a sophomore in high school for some strange reason. He's just not finding, he's not reading the plays correctly at all. He's throwing in a double and triple coverage. He's not putting the offense in the best position in order to succeed and win. But I think that will at some point in time get under control. Once that does and you see that defense continue to light it up like they have, I tell you this, That's going to be a scary team to play.
So what do you think the biggest issue with Oklahoma is offensively? Do you think it's Spencer Rattler, or is it the issues along the interior offensive line?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think you got to put a blame on a little bit of both, right? I mean, I'm not going to blame the offensive line entirely, though, because they have been doing their thug biz right, as the black folks would say. They've been doing their thing up front when it comes for them run protecting. But right now, pass protecting isn't great. I honestly think that you're going to see a whole new set of plays come Texas-Oklahoma, which is next weekend. I think you're going to see a new set of plays run. I think Lincoln Riley knows exactly what's going on. I think he knows that this is a year that is supposed to be special. You have a Heisman candidate. You have a good running back core, decent interior when it comes to the offensive line, but that defense is really strong. And I think he's kind of holding back a lot right now on schemes and things like that. Hey, it almost cost us two games this year, but I think you're going to actually see a different Oklahoma when it comes to Oklahoma, Texas. This week versus Kansas State is a trap game, so hopefully they can pull it out this week.
Again, we're talking to JT Barrett of the TakeOver Podcast here on The Game Plan. Switching gears to OU's biggest Big 12 foe, Texas. What has been your evaluation of Texas through the first four ball games?
Yeah, I seen somebody say Texas might be better than Oklahoma, and I was like, did y'all not just see them get beat by 19 versus Arkansas? Like, I mean, let's not act like that just didn't happen. I think Texas is who Texas is at this point. They obviously started the wrong quarterback, which sounds like what a head coach for the University of Texas would do. So Casey Thompson was supposed to start. They didn't start him. You obviously see a difference with him in the game, but that's a young team as well, right? You don't really expect too much. Bijan Robinson is probably second or third best player in the Big 12 when it comes to offense, if not the best. So as long as they continue to rely on the run game, put Casey Thompson in some play action, get the ball open to the open man, I think they'll be fine. But they are young on defense right now, especially after losing Cade Stearns last year at the safety position. They are young on defense at the moment. So we'll see what they do. We'll see what happens with them. I think they looked okay overall, especially with Sarkisian in as the head coach. We'll see what they can do next week versus Oklahoma, how they respond, especially after this big win this week, well, last week versus Texas Tech.
Again, we're talking to JT Barrett of the TakeOver Podcast here on The Game Plan. JT, staying with college football but moving to the ACC, given that Clemson has struggled so mightily to open up the season, what do you think their biggest issues have been? And are the biggest issues Dabo, DJ Uiagalelei, the offensive line, or a bit of all three?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, you got to obviously look at every component and aspect. I think with Dabo has been able to get away with having Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence over the last 7 to 8 years. And those guys have been able to mask a lot of Clemson problems. You also had Travis Etienne as well. With him and Trevor Lawrence, obviously they've been able to mask a lot of those problems. And then, of course, you have always the amazing receivers on the outside. Right now, Clemson just, they can't get anything going on offense. And it's not DJ Uiagalelei's fault at all. He's actually a really, really good quarterback. But the issue is they don't have the depth at running back. Obviously, Travis Etienne was there for 4 years. He's gone now. So they haven't had to develop a running back in the last 4 years. So they don't have the depth there. The offensive line right now, which has usually been a problem for Clemson, is their offensive line. It's just really not good. You actually saw that last year versus Ohio State. Right now it's just not performing up to snuff. They still have good receivers on the outside, but right now they just can't get anything going on offense. The defense is playing as hard as they can. They have a really solid front seven. But right now, Tony Elliott, that offensive coordinator, they're going to have to find a way to get DJ Uiagalelei in rhythm.
Say that one more
in
time.
In order for him, this.
Say that one more
DJ
time.
DJ Uiagalelei.
Damn, that was really bad.
Was bad.
That.
DJ Uiagalelei? That's how you say his name.
Uiagalelei. You gotta say it slow.
DJ Uiagalelei. Yeah, look, listen, I've never been great with names. That's probably because my mother cursed me when she named me, which is the reason why I go by JT. And that's the reason why, if you hear me talk about DJ, I call him DJ, because that's his name. His name is DJ.
Indeed. Switching gears to...
I mean, come on, man. Like, why the hell would your parents give you a name like Uiagalelei, man?
That's
ain't nobody pronounce that.
Bro, that's their last name.
Hey, look, man, Stephen A. Smith is a professional, hot seasoned, and he could not say Tua Tagovailoa. He was throwing some Tago.
Hey, you know who we should ask to say Uiagalelei?
Who?
Kendrick Perkins.
Oh.
He'd have a stroke.
Look, I'm telling you right now. Right, I'm telling you right now, Gus Johnson would have a ball saying DJ Uiagalelei a name. He would have a freaking ball. He would love it. Uiagalelei! Oh! DJ! Touchdown! Flipjack!
Man, bro, the thing about Gus Johnson is this. Gus Johnson, I've never heard somebody get more excited for a gain of 4.
Dog.
And 3rd and 6. No, I've never heard somebody get more excited.
It'd be so great. Hand off to Peterson. Peterson! Oh, look at Peterson running! The stiff arm, gain of 4 on the play, they're short too. It does the punt unit. But Adrian Peterson, my God, did you see that run?
Bro, I don't know if that was Gus Johnson or that was Jim Ross from WWE.
Now, you know what? That was a little bit of Jim Ross in there. I don't know where that came from. I can't do a 4-yard game by Gus Johnson. It has to be a big play. You know what I mean? Like a kickoff return. Here's Wilson at the 20 to 30. Wilson! Oh, Wilson at the 50! Wilson! Down the sideline! Oh, Gary Wilson's touchdown!
It sounds like he's screaming bloody murder as the fans running. He's like, oh, God!
Bro, like Gus Johnson cadence is whenever that first big thing happened, he has to say like their last name, like Wilson. Like, I don't know why he does it like that, but that's what he does.
Man, like the difference between him and Vern Lundquist on CBS, he would just be like, on the return is Eddie Jackson. Eddie Jackson to the 40. Eddie Jackson, one man to beat. Eddie Jackson, touchdown, Crimson Tide. And then Gus Johnson sounds like he needs to change his pants.
Man, that dude there, Gus Johnson is just – Gus Johnson gets so excited about – dude, I would want that dude to commentate my wedding, like, so bad. Like, he just gets excited about everything, which I don't – I am so glad that he's back calling NFL games this year. Like, so many people just dislike Gus Johnson. I don't understand why. How about you get some flavor into your bland-ass game? How about that, NFL?
Yeah, I was going to say, man, I think Gus Johnson can make somebody scanning groceries at Kroger sound exciting. I'm not going to lie to you.
Dog, I promise you, Gus Johnson can make anything sound exciting. I don't even want to give you an example, but I can guarantee you that he can make it sound exciting.
Hey, man, I know.
Whatever you're thinking in your mind right now, Gus Johnson can make it sound exciting.
Oh, man.
He took the candle lid off. Oh, he's lighting the candle. Oh.
Again, we're talking to JT Barrett of the Takeover here on the Game Plan Podcast. JT, switching gears a little bit to the NFL. Given that the Chiefs have lost 2 of their last 3 to open up the season, what should the panic meter look like for Mahomes and the rest of the Chiefs?
Yeah, I mean, it should look like nothing. I mean, they got Patrick Mahomes, so I'm not for sure exactly why it would look like just anything, right? It ain't like Patrick Mahomes playing for the Giants. It ain't like he playing for the Atlanta Falcons or the Philadelphia Eagles, who, by the way, if Patrick Mahomes played for the Eagles, they would probably be a lot better. But it ain't like he's playing for none of them, right? I mean, he's playing for the Kansas City Chiefs, who was in a Super Bowl the last 2 years. There is no panic level for them, right? Coaches just decided that hey, we're going to be smart. We have 2 minutes on the clock. Guess what we're going to do? Not give freaking Patrick Mahomes the ball back. How about that? It's the first 2 coaches in the history of the NFL to say, we're not giving Patrick Mahomes the ball back ever. And you want to know, like, we've seen literally people give Tom Brady the ball back. We've seen people literally give Aaron Rodgers the ball back. But, you know, Brandon Staley and Harbaugh was like, I mean, let's try something different here. I mean, we've been doing the same for the last, I don't know, 15 years. Let's just try something different and not give them the ball back. And it's worked out for both of those coaches in existence. But look, Kansas City Chiefs, they play the Eagles this week. Ain't no worry. They probably going to put up 50.
All right, we're running up on the end of the segment, JT. So tell the folks at home more about your podcast with Cam Thomas called the Takeover Podcast.
Yeah, man. You got the Takeover, which drops every Wednesday. Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Be on the lookout because in the next month, we're going to go visual. We're going to actually be doing something that I don't believe that anyone is doing when it comes to the podcasting in sports space right now, as far as when we go visual. I don't think anybody's doing this. So be on the lookout for that. You can follow me on Twitter at JT Barrett CFB. And make sure you go and subscribe and download the Takeover podcast on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You'll see it. And our latest episode was me telling people how I got high on Sunday. And I was telling love stories in the Chris Collinsworth voice.
I got hit it.
Wow. Yes. No, I definitely got to tune in for that one. Side note on Chris Collinsworth, is it me or is it every week he says something that is so suspect? And I know the rest of the country heard what I heard. Is that not him every week?
Yeah, no, he does. He definitely does say something.
He's like, look at that running back. He's just packing so much beef. Like, what? And somebody pointed this out to him at all? Like, but what are you saying?
You know, black people and white, I mean, it's a different world, right? You know, black people hear another, if I'm you and I hear you call another man thick, I'm just going to be looking at you like, hold on, bro. Like, what?
Like,
but white people, you know, like, white people, like, they've been doing that since they was in college, man. Like, oh, yeah, brother, poor don't think. He's a thickums. And I'm like, bro, what? Like, I guarantee you Chris Collinsworth learned the word thick at a fraternity party in college, like 60 definitely. Years ago.
Definitely. Yeah.
Always an interesting interview with JT Barrett of the Takeover Podcast. Bring us on the show anytime. Look, man, bring me on the show anytime to talk about these Tyler Perry movies and Charles McCarter throwing Helen out that house.
Oh my!
Please do.
Oh my gosh! So I have something that I'm planning when we go visual called Takeover After Dark, and yeah, I think you would probably be one of the first guests. And yes, we're going to talk Tyler Perry movies on Takeover After Dark. So again, I'm telling you, I have a lot of stuff planned. I'm still going to bring you on the Takeover here in the next few weeks, but whenever we go visual, like the Takeover will be revamped and we're going to have a Takeover After Dark as well. That's going to be live and visual. So I cannot wait for that. So, but yeah, man, just be ready. Just be ready.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And we are up on a break here on the Game Plan Podcast. Coming up next, we're going to pick the games for this weekend. NFL College, we're going to tell you who's going to come out on top. Don't go anywhere. This is the Game Plan Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Game Plan Podcast. Alex Goodwin is my name. You can follow me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, that's on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Kennedy Miller.
Yes, sir.
Where can they find you on Twitter?
_ Kennedy Miller _. Again, that's _ Kennedy as in the former NFL lineman Cortez Kennedy. Miller as in the WNBA great, or, well, actually, she didn't play in the WNBA, but the former women's college basketball great, Cheryl Miller. _ Kennedy Miller _.
All right, all right. Aaron, where can they find you?
They can find me at SlenderManZ00. On Twitter. Again, that is SlenderManZ00 on Twitter.
All right. All right. We're going to wrap the show up here quickly with our game picks. We're going to pick six of the best games coming up this weekend in college and pro football. Let's get this show on the road. Starting off here with college football. #8, Arkansas at #2, Georgia. Ken, who you got?
Georgia. think this ends the role that Arkansas has been on lately. I think Georgia, I'm going to take your advice that you gave us at the beginning of the year. Georgia is a really good team. They have a really good roster from top to bottom. I think Georgia will win this game.
Aaron?
Going to piggyback here. I agree, Georgia. I think their defense is really tough. I like that. It's going to carry them a long way. Arkansas is kind of in the, I won't call it a Cinderella story, but yeah, like Ken said, the buck stops here. So
I think the game is going to be closer than most folks think. I think it's going to be a really, really close game. I think partly that's because of Arkansas has a really stingy defense. And one thing that they do is they play a lot of drop eight coverage, right? Don't allow a lot of big plays. Sam Pittman coaches them tough. They don't make very many mistakes and they're disciplined. But I'm going to take Georgia with the score. I think this is going to be a defensive slugfest. I'm going to go Georgia 20, Arkansas 17. Moving on to number one, Alabama taking on number 12, Ole Miss. Ken, who you got?
Alabama. I don't think this is a tough one either. Ole Miss is good, but I think unless – was it Chad Kelly that beat him 2 years in a row? And then I think they had a Bo Wallace that beat him.
Yeah, I think it was might have been a year once. I think Bo Wallace beat him in 14, Chad Kelly in 15, and Bama won in 16. So, okay.
Those two aren't walking through those doors this year, so I think Alabama's going to win this.
Aaron?
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be a cakewalk for Bama. It's going to be one of those games that they kind of start early and, you know, they give them a good run in the first quarter and then, you know, the onslaught starts. So I'm going with Bama.
Guys, again, I'm going to have to disagree with you. I think this game's going to be a lot closer than you guys think. Remember, last year, Ole Miss put up 48 on Alabama. Now, mind you, Bama did score 63, but Ole Miss also had one of the worst defenses in college football history, right? They've improved that defense. A lot of transfers coming in from the transfer portal, grad transfer guys, a lot of JUCO guys, and some of those younger players that they had last year that they had to play, they have another year in that system, right? I think this one is going to be a shootout again. I think Ole Miss's quarterback, Matt Corral, one of the five or six best quarterbacks in the country. I stand on that. But through it all, I'm going big Nick Saban and the Tide in a shootout. 46 to 37. Moving on to the Big 12, Texas taking on TCU. TCU's at home. Aaron, who you got?
I'm going with Texas. I think it's going to be close. This is one of those games I feel like Texas kind of walks in and plays to the level of the competition. I'm hoping that they play above that, but I'm going to stick with Texas on this one, and hopefully I'm proven right.
I'm going to go with Texas here as well. I think it's really important to remember, Texas has lost 7 of their last 9 to TCU since TCU came to the Big 12. So we're talking about Mack Brown, Charlie Strong, Tom Herman. We're talking 3 head coaches ago, fellas. Texas has to prove they can beat TCU. And again, I think that proves how far we've fallen. We talking about we got to beat TCU, fellas. So I think given how well they've played these last 2 weeks, after that shellacking they took at the hands of Arkansas, I think they should take care of business here. Texas by 10. Ken?
I think Texas wins. TCU just lost last week to SMU. And I think still reeling after that, and Texas is on a roll right now. So I think Texas is going to win this game.
Moving to the NFL, Cardinals at the Rams. Ken, who you got?
I got the Rams. The Rams are looking really good right now, especially after beating the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I do think the Cardinals are a really good team that people are kind of sleeping on this year, or kind of had them under the radar going into the year because they're in such a guys, that NFC West has a, depending on how it finishes, has an argument to be one of the best divisions in NFL history, not even just NFL right now. All four of those teams are really good. But I think for this first game, where is the game played?
The game will be in LA.
I got the Rams wins.
Aaron?
I want to go with the Cardinals and Kyler Murray so bad. It's taking everything in me not to do so, as a matter of fact. But the Rams are hot. Matt Stafford seems to be night and day from Jared Goff. And I knew he was going to be better, but man, he literally night and day. So, Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Donald, I mean, they're staples in their defense. And I think they're going to show up and give Kyler Murray a pretty difficult time to take away the time he has in the pocket and then to cover his receivers downfield at the same time. It's going to give him a lot of trouble. So I think the Rams take this one. The Cardinals defense is still kind of shaky. They have some solid pieces and they've been playing pretty well, but I don't think they're going to hold up too well against that high powered offense.
Aaron, I know you wanted to pick the Cardinals and you just couldn't bring yourself to do it, but I can. I think Arizona's finally turning a corner here. In year three of Cliff Kingsbury. And Ken, you know how little I think of Cliff Kingsbury.
I was just about to say, you believe in Cliff Kingsbury now?
No, I don't. I really don't. I believe in the quarterback.
So you believe in Kyler Murray?
I believe in the quarterback. They've also got the best receiver in football out there, DeAndre Hopkins. Right? Christian Kirk's coming on. Big fantasy football pickup. Check that out. Right? They got Chandler Jones on the edge, right? So he'll give Matthew Stafford a bit of a push, right? Overall, I'm going with Arizona. And that's only because, like, in divisional games like this, when it's really tight, most times when teams are this evenly matched in the division, they split, right? I think they're going to split. I think Arizona steals one on the road.
Quick question.
What's up?
You're taking DeAndre over Davante Adams?
Yes. And that's no shade to Davante Adams at all. Like, I understand. Yeah, I think one of the craziest things is NFL wise, there are so many great wide receivers, right? That leaving somebody out of your top 10 or top 12 isn't disrespect. The league is just that talented now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, anybody's definitely top 5 or 6, you know, they can fluctuate 1 through 6, and I wouldn't trip at all. You know what I mean? Like, if you think Davante Adams is the best receiver in football, I ain't really got no qualms with that. Moving on to Baltimore and Denver. Aaron, who you got?
I'm going Baltimore. I want to say this. Kudos to Teddy Bridgewater. I'm very happy for him. I do love what he's doing out there in Denver. He's played his ass off. But Baltimore's defense, that is a defense that shows up every Sunday. And they're going to be there. They're going to be in your face. Calais Campbell is a mountain of a human being. Really, so is Marlon Humphrey. I don't know if you've ever seen him up close. He's huge. I like the Ravens. Lamar Jackson is the clear X factor of the game, obviously, right? He's going to be the reason why I'm picking the Ravens to win this game. I think Denver has some good pieces on defense, but I'm going to stick with the Ravens for them to pull it out on this one.
I'm going to go with Denver here, and I think Baltimore is just so banged up to start the year, right? Like, they really – like, they've lost guys on the offensive line, lost their top three running backs. Like, this isn't the Baltimore team they thought they were going to have. Like, they've got a patchwork offensive line put together, given that Tyree Phillips is out. They've had to move Alejandro Villanueva from right tackle to left, and – maybe they might have to move him back to right. But the problem is he can't play right tackle. He was getting abused in that Monday night game against the Raiders, right? So I think all those things, and given the altitude in Denver, I think that's something we really don't think about. It's tough to breathe there. Cross-country flight for Baltimore. I'm going to go Denver by 3. Ken.
I got Baltimore winning. I think Denver is a really good team, and they're doing what good teams have to do to make the playoffs, and that's beat the teams that you're supposed to beat. They're very well rounded. I think Teddy Bridgewater is a very serviceable quarterback that clearly has shown that he can win games for you. However, I have to salute to Lamar Jackson for what he's been able to do so far with kind of what you alluded to, all the pieces that they're missing, from Marcus Peters to two of their starting running backs to the working offensive line, so on and so forth. For him to go into Kansas City and well, not go into Kansas City, but for him to beat Kansas City in that fashion and then to lose a close game in Las Vegas, which arguably they could have won. And if you look at the game when they played Detroit, it was a close game, but you look at all the passes that Hollywood Brown dropped throughout the game, and Lamar could have had 350 yards passing. So I think Baltimore wins it. But like you said, I do think it is a very close game because I do like how balanced Denver is. And it just seems like they know how to play football and know how to play together.
Absolutely. We're going to have to leave it right there. We are out of time here on the Game Plan Podcast. So, Kennedy Miller, thank you for joining me once again. Let the folks know where they can find you on Twitter.
_ Kennedy Miller _. Again, that's _ Kennedy, as in the former wrestler, Mr. Kennedy. Miller, as in former Heat shooting guard, Mike Miller. _ Kennedy Miller _.
Oh, throwback.
Okay.
Hey, you see it.
Aaron, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at SlenderManZ00. Again, that is SlenderManZ00. I know that's a bit of a complex name. It's like my fourth one. Hopefully they don't find this one. They let me keep it.
All right, man. You guys can follow me on Twitter at AlexGoodwinTSM. Again, that's on Twitter at AlexGoodwinTSM. TSM. Woo. That's T as in Tanqueray, S as in San Antonio, M as in Marshawn, like Marshawn Lynch. For JT Barrett, as well as Kennedy Miller and Aaron Okonafua, this has been the Game Plan Podcast. Alex Goodwin is my name. We will see you guys next time.